I know I'm happy to be here, to be able to be a participant in this Missouri reunion. If you would, please turn to 360 for our opening song, 360. Would you please rise as we sing this song? Our most kind and loving Father, we, a few of thy children, desire to come before thee now at this opportunity that we have to hear thy word spoken. I pray, Father, that you might forgive us in where we have sinned before thee. I'm thankful, Lord, that you love us and care for us and hear our prayers. I'm thankful, Father, for the safety in which you've given us and our children as we've been able to have the camp. And now, Father, I pray that you prepare our hearts and our minds that we might be able to hear thy word this night. Be with our brother, I pray, and as he stands before us, I pray your spirit would rest upon him, that you'd give him the liberty of speech and thought, that you'd bring those words in which he has studied before him, that he might impart thy word according to thy pleasure. I'm thankful, Lord, that you care for us and that you've given us these things in our lives that we might know thee more. So, Father, now we wait upon thee and we ask and pray all these things in the name of thy Son, even Jesus Christ. Let's continue in song with, we're going to have a special.
Right.
Thank you very much for that beautiful song. As I was sitting up here and I was thinking about the speaker this night, it brings to my mind the gospel bond. How precious and lovely that bond is. All those who name the name of Christ, I look at them and praise my God and know that they are a part of me and I'm a part of them. A beautiful and great family. I do have a brother and I'd like to introduce him tonight. He's not my blood, but he's as much as my brother as ever blood would ever be. My brother Steve McGee. I know he takes the time to study and to contemplate the Word of God, that the Spirit might work with him, that he might impart that word to you tonight. And every time he's asked to stand and to occupy as a priest of the Most High. So I'd like to introduce now to you tonight, and I hope and pray that you're prepared to hear the Word of God, our brother Steve McGee.
I have to tell you, this is a little intimidating. I think this is the largest group that I have ever spoken to, and it is intimidating. Am I the only one that's noticed that this is kind of short? I wish this was about this tall right now. But I do have a message to deliver this evening. And I know that most of you, a lot of you, have attended the camp up there and are probably tired. I'm going to get right into it. Try not to keep you too long. But I have to tell you, I did have a sermon prepared for some time. And it was very entertaining. It was entertaining. And night before last, I looked at that and I tore it in two, because that's about all it was entertaining. Didn't have a whole lot of substance to it, and it scared me. I was frightened that I would even put something down like that. And I'm not saying it's wrong to be entertaining while you're up here, but it had very little substance. And that frightened me. So I started anew. And I went back to some of my favorite scriptures that I've used and I will continue to use in my ministry, because they mean a lot to me and they mean a lot to you. I'd like to turn into Hebrews, the 5th chapter, to start out with. Hebrews, the 5th chapter. Starting with the 12th verse. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Paul, as he was speaking to these Hebrews at this particular time, I believe was chastising. I believe he was calling them up short. For when, for the time, you ought to be teachers. And as I go through my sermon, I hope you will try to relate this to your life in this gospel, to your life in this church. I hope that you are trying to decide right now whether you ought to be a teacher or whether you need to be taught again. I'm going to read on down in the sixth chapter, six verses. And after Paul had chastised them, I believe he was chastising them in these last three verses of the fifth chapter, I believe he's trying to lift them up in this sixth chapter. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, and I believe that's the way he said it. Therefore, leaving the principles with that enthusiasm, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. And God permits. God permits. But do we? And will we? For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and to put him to an open shame. And you know, we relate that to sin. The need for repentance, we relate that to sin. Is it sinful? Is it sinful when we ought to be teachers to have the need to be taught again? Is it sinful? Is it sinful to be lazy? Is it sinful not to be bold? And I believe it is. I believe it is in this gospel, sinful. It says, let us go on unto perfection. What's that? You know, what does that entail? What's that entail to me? What's that entail to you? You know, you can go back into the fifth chapter of Matthew, and I know you've all read it over and over and over again, the latter part of that chapter. And it gives us a commandment that we're to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And that is to love the souls of mankind, each and every one, as our Father loves them, without reservation. And I believe that's it. I believe that's perfection. But I think there's more to perfection than that. I think there's more leading up to that type of perfection than that. Much, much more. I'd like to turn over into 2 Peter. The third chapter. Starting with the first verse. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Pure minds. You know, when I think of a pure mind, I immediately go or think of going to Philippians, the fourth chapter, where Paul tells them what to think on. And if we think on those things, it will lead us to righteousness. Stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? That's this day. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly, and there's a key word there, willingly are ignorant of. They make a choice. That by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. And I believe in order, especially in this country, to be willingly, to be ignorant of that fact and that knowledge, you have to be willing to be ignorant. Because I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is here, and I believe it's being preached. I believe it's being spoken. I believe that the Spirit is working with men and women throughout this country, as well as in this church, and touching their hearts if they will. And if they don't, they're willingly ignorant of it. That by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly man. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Any soul, not just members of the Church of Christ, but any soul, not willing that any and that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be What manner of person do you think you ought to be? Believing these things as I believe these things, as the church believes these things, what manner of person do you think you ought to be? Knowing that this is taking place, knowing that this is the time that is mentioned right here, what manner of persons ought you to be? Ought I to be? One that is still being need to be fed of a teacher? Do you think that's where we ought to be? Do you think that's the type of person we ought to be right now? Or do you think we ought to be able to receive strong meat? You know, Paul was speaking to the Hebrews, and I don't know how long the Hebrews at this particular time had the gospel. I don't know how long they had been preached to, but I know it was long enough in Paul's eyes that he believed they ought to be beyond where they are. You know, I've been baptized going on 20 years. I don't believe that length of time had passed when Paul had spoken to the Hebrews. You know, it's been 160-something years. 160-something years since this church came into existence again. Are we still being fed milk? Aren't we in need of strong meat? And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. You know it. You know it. We all know it. Everyone in here knows it. Does it fit? I mean, if I'm still, and preachers are still up here having to preach the principles to you over and over and over and over and over again to make you feel good about this gospel, then we are definitely lukewarm. We are definitely not on fire. And we're not cold, but we are not on fire. Do you exercise your senses? What does that mean exactly? What does that mean to exercise your senses? So you can receive that strong meat. What can you do to exercise your senses so you can receive that strong meat? How can you do that? How can I do that? How much are you dependent upon the Lord? How much do you allow yourself to be dependent upon the Lord and His Spirit? How much do I? I'm going to read on. Seeing then that also these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heaven and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. We do look forward to Zion, don't we? Why? Ask yourselves why. I'm not going to give you the answer. Ask yourself why you look forward to the coming of Zion. Wherein, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Three things. And these three things will lead you to perfection. These three things, if you do them, are perfection. They are perfection. And are not the same things. They're three totally different things. Completely different things. Found of Him in peace. Without spot and blameless. Found in peace. What does that mean? Well, to me, and I know that most people would say, well, you have the peace of God with you. Well, it's not what that means to me. Don't believe that's what he's saying right there to me. Maybe he is to you. To me, it's not at odds. Not at odds with anyone. I mean, when he says peace right there, I believe that's what he means. To be at peace. think of Christ's example. You think of Christ's life. Was he at odds? Think of Christ's words. I'm going to turn to the 5th chapter of Matthew. Starting with the 22nd verse. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whoso say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer your gift. Now listen to this. Agree with thine adversary quickly. It doesn't say to pick and choose whom you're going to agree quickly with, does it? It says, agree with your adversary quickly. While thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou shalt be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Do you have a long-standing grudge with anyone? Do you have a long-standing distrust of someone in the church or out of the church? Do you have a resentment? It tells us what's going to happen if we do. And we don't agree with our adversary quickly, if we don't make the effort, it's easy not to make the effort. And it's easy to justify not making the effort. I do it daily. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I dare say a lot of you do too. A little resentment here, a little resentment there, a little distrust, and it grows and it grows and it grows. So it's out of control. We're in the prison. We're in the prison. That you may be found without spot. You know, there's only one way I know for that to happen, and that's through Jesus Christ. I don't think there is another way to be found without spot. I'm going to turn into Isaiah, 53rd chapter. Jesus Christ, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded. He was wounded for our transgressions. And he was bruised for our iniquities. Why? So that we might be spotless. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes are we healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was caught, cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of mine people was he stricken. Who is going to declare his generation? Who is going to promote this gospel? Who is going to partake of strong meat? You? Are you ready? Are we ready? Have we exercised our senses? Are we a people who depend upon the Lord, who depend upon His Spirit? Or do we come here Wednesday evening, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, stay maybe Sunday afternoon, expecting His Spirit and then leaving? Do we? Do you? I hope the answer is no. For if it's no, you're ready for something better. We are ready for something better. I don't want this to sound like I'm down, because I don't. I'm not. I honestly believe, as my brother Sheldon testified Wednesday night, the last couple of years, he's seen something happen. It's going to happen. It's starting to happen. And I see it with younger people. I see it with young marrieds. I see it with younger people. I see people that are preparing themselves for something stronger. I believe it. I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen amongst us. Whether it's going to happen to me or you, I don't know. But I know it's going to happen amongst us. And I know that there are people, young people, that are readying themselves to be perfect. Forgot where I was. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him into grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, spotless, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by the knowledge of my righteous servant, justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many. He bare the sin of all, and made an intercession for the transgressors. That's how we become spotless. Brings me to the very last thing, and that's blameless. That may be the most difficult. Fact is, I believe it's the most difficult to achieve. Blameless. It's not the same as without spot. It's not the same as being in peace. It's blameless. What does that mean? I'm going to turn into the Book of Mormon on page 289. Starting with 204. And after they had traveled throughout the land of Zarahemla and among the people which were under the reign of King Mosiah, zealously striving to repair all the injuries which they had done to the church, confessing all their sins and publishing all the things which they had seen and explaining the prophecies and the scriptures to all who desired to hear him. And thus they were instruments in the hands of God. Instruments in the hands of God, in bringing many to the knowledge of the truth, yea, to the knowledge of their Redeemer. And now how blessed are they, for they did publish peace, they did publish good tidings of good, and they did declare unto the people that the Lord reigneth. Straight on down in the next chapter. Now they were these same people. Now they were desirous that salvation should be declared to every creature, for they could not bear that any human soul should perish, yea, even the very thoughts that any soul should endure endless torment did cause them to quake and to tremble, for thus did the Spirit of the Lord work upon them, for they were the vilest of sinners. Do you think these sons of Mosiah were found blameless? Yes, I do. And I think that's exactly what being blameless constitutes. Nothing less than that. Are you blameless? Are we blameless? Does your soul quake thinking about someone might be lost? Someone? Anyone? Didn't matter to these. They were interested in all. Does yours quake? Does yours tremble? You know, we have that responsibility as the body of Christ. I mean, do you believe that we are the body of Christ? Do you believe that you are a part of the body of Christ? Do you think you have the same responsibility here upon earth to share the things that Christ shared when he was here? Do you think you have the responsibility to share the same things that the sons of Mosiah shared when they were here? They're not here anymore. Christ is not here in the flesh. He's here in the spirit. You're here. I'm here. Are you blameless? Do you make an effort to show how happy you are and how blessed you are? Do you make that effort to show people how much joy there is in this gospel? Do you do that? I mean, do you believe there's joy in this gospel? Has it made you happy? Has it caused you excitement? Has it given you what you need? Absolutely. It's given everything to me that I need, time and time and time again. There are a select few that do. I'm sorry to say it's select. And there are some in this church. And there are some that are not in this church. Or did he die for all? In hopes. In hopes. I'm going to turn to 1 John. Fifth chapter. No, that's not what I want. That's the fourth chapter. 1 John, fourth chapter. I'm sorry. Starting with the 10th verse. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected, completed in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify, do we, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now listen to this. This is it. Because as he is, speaking of Christ, as he is, so are we in this world. There you go. Are you? As he is, are you in this world? That's the way our love is made perfect. That's how we're blameless. That's how we're blameless. First John, second chapter, 28th, 29th verse, reading down into the third chapter. This will be my last reading. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, ye may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Remember what I read? In Peter, what we're to have, to be in peace and spotless and blameless, that's how we're going to have confidence, if we have those things, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. For ye know that he is righteous, and ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, or chooses not to know us, as I read earlier, chooses to be ignorant, not because we have not tried, not because we have not shared, not because we have not testified, because they have chosen to ignore. Not because we have picked and chosen who we would testify and who we would share with, because they would not listen. Because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. It sounds a whole lot like back in Hebrews. We're being fed milk. We're going over the principles of the gospel. Doth not yet appear what we're going to be like. But we know that, and I know that, and I have confidence in this, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. I have confidence in that. For we shall see him as he is. And every man and woman and child that hath this hope in him purify himself even as he is pure, even as Christ is pure. Peace. Spotless. Blameless. We have a mission. I'm glad we have reunions. I need reunions. You need reunions. I need church. Lots of times. Lots of times to be recharged. But I can tell you, it's just like a car. I know car batteries. I know car batteries. I know vehicles. You can charge it and charge it and charge it and charge it. And if it sits there and you never start it up and it sits there, guess what happens? It'll go flat. It'll go dead. You start that car up. After you've charged your battery here, wherever, and you actually go somewhere. You actually move. You actually let that alternator alternate and charge that battery back up. You actually do some work. It won't go flat. It won't go flat. I hope it wasn't meant to be a downer sermon. I really didn't mean it to be a downer sermon. I hope it wasn't. Because I really am anticipating. I'm anticipating lots of good things. And we got a church full. We got a church full this evening. I mean, it is full. I'm not so intimidated now, and this pulpit doesn't look so short now. I feel better. But I hope you feel better too. But not so good that you don't take to heart what your responsibility is and what we need to be doing as members of this church, as part of the body of Christ. As he is, so are we on this earth. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. While you look up 361 for our closing song, I'd like to at least make an announcement or two if I can get this straight. Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, there will be a prayer service here in this chapel. So if you would, come prepared for that service. Also, this day is the responsibility for the cleanup is this local, the Temple Lot local. They would like all the volunteers they can get to clean the chapel and the kitchen and the different areas so we can be prepared for tomorrow. So if you'd like to volunteer your services, you can get a hold of Bonnie Elaine. And is there someone else? That's it. And she'll put you to work. Would you please rise as we sing this song, 361. With me in a word of prayer. Our most kind and loving Father, I'm thankful for the words in which we were able to hear this night. I'm thankful, Father, for thy grace that we might be perfected in thee. I pray now that you will go with your people and keep them safe. Help us all to be able to rest that we might be prepared in the morning. Father, I pray that you might forgive us and continue to be with us in our lives. Now, Father, we do thank you and we do pray these things always in the blessed name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.